Welcome back to another installment of To Honesty and Comeuppance, an Attack on Titan fanfiction written by yours truly, Tolstoy Ackerman. You can find this fanfiction either by going to the link on my profile page, which will take you to all of my works hosted on AO3, or by going directly to AO3 and searching either the title of this fic, To Honesty and Comeuppance, or my author name, Tolstoy Ackerman. General disclaimer, I do not own Attack on Titan, I only own the original characters here within, and this is entirely non-for-profit. Thanks again for coming back for another chapter, and let's get right into it. Without further ado, let's get into chapter 22. Chapter 22, What Spiders See. So many alarm bells were blaring in Himmel's head that she couldn't focus. In her long history of utterly awful, idiotic plans, this would remain at the top for the rest of her life. Though, she thought as she kicked into action, she didn't think she'd be alive much longer. The wind swelled as if it were in sync with her frenzy, and one of the three red flagpoles snapped. It sounded like a lone gunshot, but the lead bullet ricocheted through everyone atop the walls, shattering bone and sinew and all the tender things between them. Every last person froze, and the air was suddenly boiling with adrenaline. Hands wavered on blades, breaths rattled, and minds shuddered. Was it happening now? It was, Himmel decided. Titans! To the southeast! She screamed, pointing. Instinctually, their attention shifted. Titans were a greater danger than humans. The primordial part of the brain would force everyone to look where she was pointing, in the opposite direction of Bertolt, Reiner, Eren, and her. And in the instant between instants, Himmel moved. Bertolt, give me 15 seconds and two horses, she yelled. Insanity. This was utter madness. Was she really doing this? Was she really betraying all these kids that she'd grown to love? Was she betraying Levi? Behind her, she felt the heat of 3,000 suns, and a half-glance behind her showed the colossal growing out of the folds of time, massive ribs spiking out of a spine to latch onto the walls like pincers. The steam from its massive transformation obscured them all in a thick, damp, burning fog, and Himmel dove into it to pluck Ymir from the stretcher, throw her over one shoulder with a cord of rope that had been beside her, double back, punch Eren hard enough in the solar plexus to knock him out, throw him over the other shoulder, and then she knelt down to take her dagger out of her boot and etch words into the stone of the wall for Levi to find. I'd do it all over again 15 more times. I'm sorry. He would know. It was crucial that he know. Himmel! Reiner shouted. She ran to his voice through the opaque steam. You two hold on to me. We're going to go flying. It was intensely ungainly, because they were two of the tallest of the 104th, she was one of the shortest, and she already had an unconscious person on either shoulder. Still, Reiner put his arms around her neck from the front, and Bertolt appeared out of the steam, body still scorching hot from emerging from the colossal, and wrapped his arms around her and Reiner from behind. They moved with her to the edge of the wall, and then, gritting her teeth, Himmel jumped. The two of them gasped as they went hurtling down the wall and into the wilderness of Wall Maria, and Himmel deployed her ODM gear anchors and sank them into the wall. They jerked to a stop that made her bones ache, but then she swung them down and safely onto the ground. I'm keeping these two. They're my insurance, Himmel said. You two take one horse and I'll take another. Reiner and Bertolt opened their mouths to argue, but she had thrown away 35 years of her life for them. They didn't know what she'd do. Himmel herself didn't know. The two of them got on a horse and waited. Getting on a horse was a challenge already, what with her height, but with two people on her shoulders it was all the more difficult. With a grunt, she heaved herself up, and then she took the cord of rope she'd taken from beside Ymir's stretcher and lashed it around herself and the two to make sure they didn't get bucked off her while they sped away. After you, gentlemen, Himmel said with a nod. Mikasa screamed Eren's name from atop the wall, and a little bolt of instinctual fear shot through Himmel. That was the voice of an animal ready to gnash and rend. Reiner and Bertolt must have sensed the same chords that she had, because Reiner lashed his horse and they set off. Himmel rode alongside them, putting more and more distance between everyone she loved with each passing second. Was she really throwing it all away? The hundreds of thousands that called the Undercity their home and looked to her for safety, the kids in the 104th that were her siblings, and Levi, whom she cared for more than for anyone or anything else. It occurred to her now that, wherever this hometown was of Bertolt and Reiner's, once she reached it, she would likely never be able to return. Something in her chest twisted and snapped.
"Wish she would have stolen us some ODM gear," Reiner said. "Beggars can't be choosers," Himmel said, shoving down all of the painful, churning emotions. "Bertolt, you doing all right?"
He was slumped against Reiner's back, heavy, gaunt lines curving down his cheeks. He was awake, but only barely.
"His transformation takes more energy than ours," Reiner said. "But you guys were back in action in minutes after Trost," Himmel said. "No one suspected you."
Reiner gave her a slightly stunned look, and Bertolt sat up straighter, dropping the act.
"Nothing gets by you, Himmel," Reiner chuckled without humor. "So tell us, what do you think about the female?"
"It's Annie, of course."
Their eyes shot wide, and they gasped in horror at how casually she said it. She followed up, "But don't worry. I only put it together when you said that you two were the Armored and the Colossal. I don't think anyone else has or will realize for some time. Now, tell me a little bit more about this hometown you're going to show me."
"It'd be better if we just showed it to you," Bertolt said.
That was a strange answer.
"So, how long will it take for us to get there, then?"
"Several days," Reiner said.
Quite a ways beyond Wall Maria, then."
They were heading southwest right now, and Himmel had her eyes peeled for Titans. Currently, she was the only one that could fight against them, unless Reiner transformed, but that spike of green and yellow lightning would give away their position to the Survey Corps immediately. And, most importantly, Himmel couldn't fight freely with Ymir and Eden strapped to her. Evasion would be key.
"So what's the plan?" she asked. "I got us out of there. Now you get us the rest of the way."
"We can't fight Titans like this, so we'll have to wait until nightfall in some trees," Bertolt said. "I'm guessing you're not willing to let us carry Ymir or Eden, are you?"
She shook her head no. "Like I said, they're my insurance. I know I'm just a little side dish."
Reiner and Bertolt frowned at her word choice, and it was quiet before the clop of hooves and whistling wind for a little until Reiner said, "No, you're more than that." The itch of the mystery was going to consume her. She wanted to stop them right where they were on this open plain, Titans be damned, and make them tell her everything. Reluctantly, she forced herself to shove that impulse down and keep writing.
"You ought to cut off some of Eden's limbs," Bertolt said suddenly. "He'll probably wake up soon."
She gave him a look. "Why would I want to do that?"
"Make sure he doesn't have enough energy to transform."
"Ah, that did make sense. However," Himmel said, "I'd like to try to talk him around first."
"Talk him around? He's the most pig-headed person in the 104th other than Mikasa," Reiner said.
"I know, but he trusts me. Let me try, and if it doesn't work and he transforms, I can just carve him out. I think I've gotten pretty damn good at it, if I do say so myself."
Bertolt shivered. "When you lunged at Ymir, I thought you were going to kill her. You didn't look like yourself."
Himmel chuckled. "I was put in the special operations team with Eden right after Trost. We underwent training for slicing humans out of Titans. I almost got Annie out back in the Titan Forest, too. That you guys can localize healing and hardening. I didn't expect that."
And, she thought ruefully, she had successfully ripped Annie out of the female back in Stoh Hess, and that was why she was right here. Right now, setting fire to everything she loved.
"How are you so calm about all of this?" Reiner asked, unable to hide his bewilderment from her any longer. "You just betrayed all of our friends and left your home to join us when you know what we did."
Himmel gave him and Bertolt a long, tired look.
"I have my reasons. I'll explain them when Eden and Ymir wake up. I hate repeating things."
They continued riding in silence until they had put a good 40 kilometers between them and Wall Rose and arrived at tall trees. Here there were Titans, and immediately four of them, ranging in size from 4 meter to 8 meter, started running at them.
"Oh, you dumb motherfuckers,"
Himmel muttered, gritting her teeth. She couldn't enjoy a fight right now.
"Himmel," Bertolt said, genuine panic in his voice. "Yeah, yeah," she huffed.
She tried rocking to the left and right, to see how much Ymir and Eden shifted, but she had tied them down to her well.
"You two just hang tight and evade them."
"What?"
She pulled her blades out and shot off her horse, groaning with the additional weight of these two on her. Eden was heavier than Ymir, and she had to use her gas to correct it, lest she veer to the left and straight into a Titan's open jaws.
With a short cry, she cut straight through the head of a 4-meter, and then used the trees to bounce up high above the others, and one by one slice through their napes. By the end of it, she was panting, and her gas was more than halfway depleted. She rode the back of the final Titan down as it crumpled, while Reiner and Bertholdt gaped at her.
"Well, go on and tie up the horses," she snapped, "or do you want to get eaten?"
"Yes, ma'am," Reiner said, putting a fist to his heart. Both she and Bertholdt gave him a perplexed look, but the boys grabbed the horses and tied them up to saplings swiftly. Then they put their arms around her like they had on the wall, and she used the ODM gear to get them up onto the tallest, broadest bough. Once the two let go of her, she took Eden and Ymir and bounded to a different branch far enough away that they couldn't reach her without gear or transformation. "Just for insurance," she said, wiping sweat from her brow. She untied the intricate knots of the rope and laid Eden and Ymir on either side of her, before taking Eden's ODM gear and putting it on a bough that was far enough away that only she could reach it. It had only been an hour since they'd escaped. She couldn't guess when Ymir would wake up because of those wounds to her stomach, but she expected Eden would be up fairly soon. She rested a hand on either's chest, so she'd be able to feel their pulse accelerate when they woke up. "So," Himmel said to the colossal and armored, "tell me what you know about me." The boys shared a glance, and Reiner said, "We're not the most knowledgeable. We should wait until we get back to our hometown." "No. I got you Eden and Ymir. I got you me. I got you here completely unscathed. And you two have no fucking idea just how much I threw away to do it. You owe me more than hollow promises." They both looked distressed. They were boys, but they weren't stupid. Himmel had proven herself to be more wild and unpredictable than they could have ever guessed today. Who was to say that she wouldn't find a way to flee with Eden and Ymir and leave them stranded here? They could always transform and escape or chase after them, but they would have to do so without Annie or Eden, and they had also watched her butcher Titans left and right, as well as hack Ymir out of her Titan like it was nothing. If they took her lightly, it could well be the last thing they did. "Tell us everything you lost," Bertholdt said, sitting down. She gave a sad chuckle. "Put aside the whole Rucker thing. What do you guys really know about me?" "You did some shady stuff down in the Undercity. We thought maybe you worked for the Sabakia as one of her fixers. Commander Erwin headhunted you because of how good you are, and you betrayed the Sabakia to join him. But you had all of those letters arriving from the Undercity, so then we thought maybe you had private operations going on down there, as well as some lovers named Levi and Nathaniel." A sincere laugh burbled up, but then it choked her. "Levi would absolutely slaughter you if he knew you'd mentioned the both of them in the same sentence like that. That was some good homework you guys did. Is that what Annie was doing, sneaking out at night?" Their eyes grew wide in surprise, and her suspicions were confirmed. "Well, Annie's not bad at recon, I guess," Himmel said. "But she got some things wrong. First off, Nathaniel isn't my lover. He used to be, a long time ago. Now he runs things in my place. And I didn't work for the Sabakia. I was her biggest competition. I dedicated my entire life to the lives of the citizens of the Undercity. I butchered all the rival gangs. I drew and quartered all the people running the human trafficking. I killed thousands of merchants and guards over the years, stealing food and medicine and whatever my people needed to survive. So when I jumped off the wall with you two today, I didn't just throw away everyone in the 104th. I threw away tens of thousands of people that live below the streets we walked every day. Is that enough of a price for this fucking information, or do you want me to sacrifice more?" Reiner and Bertholdt looked stunned to learn all of this information. After a few moments of digesting this, Bertholdt said, "So that's why you're the way you are." She cocked an eyebrow and waited for one of them to elaborate. "Ruthless," Reiner said. She laughed, and it sounded like it came from someone else. Who even was she right now? Covered in sweat and horse blood and Ymir's blood and so much guilt she couldn't recognize herself. "When we get to our hometown, you'll have a better life," Reiner said. "You'll see. You'll be happier." Unless Levi was there waiting for her, that was very unlikely. She went along with it, though. "How so?" "You'll be a hero," Bertholdt said. "You'll become a model citizen." "They'll make you an honorary warrior, I'm sure," Reiner added. Their words confused her. "Do your people celebrate mass murderers?" "What am I saying? Of course they do." Both of them looked as if she'd slapped them across the face, slack-jawed and wounded. "Sorry," Himmel said, unapologetically. Ymir's heart suddenly fluttered against her chest, and next her narrow brown eyes opened slowly. Himmel swiftly leaned down and whispered in her ear, "I've taken you and Eren with Reiner and Bertolt. They're the armored and colossal. Just follow along with me." She ran a hand over Ymir's forehead, pretending to check for a fever, and then lifted her shirt to inspect her gut. "Ugh, this is bullshit," Ymir muttered. "Yeah, that's the other name for the land of the living." Himmel laughed, patting her freckled cheek. "Now don't move or think about transforming, or I'll have to start cutting off limbs." Ymir glowered at her. "I'm not the one you have to worry about." Himmel looked over to Eren, who was beginning to stir as well. She knew all too well that he would be the more difficult of the two to wrangle. "Eren," she said, running her fingers through his hair, "stay calm and let me explain things." His deep green eyes shot open, panicked, and his time resumed from the moment he'd been engulfed in steam and Himmel had appeared out of it like a mirage to knock him out. His nostrils flared, his chest heaved, and he wanted to throw himself to his feet. Himmel pinned him down by the shoulders. "You fucking traitors!" he screamed. "I trusted you!" "Eren," Himmel shouted, "take a deep breath and just listen before you jump to conclusions. You don't understand the position we're in." "What is there to understand? Reiner and Bertolt fucking lied to us, and now what? You lied to us too? You're turning on us too?" Himmel shook her head. "Reiner and Bertolt did lie to us. They're the colossal and armored that destroyed Shiganshina and Walmeria 5 years ago, and Trost a couple weeks ago. They're directly responsible for the death of your mother. That's an undeniable truth, and it's right to hate them for that. I hate them too. But you need to hear the whole story before you start thrashing around. Take deep breaths and listen." Eren looked over at Ymir, who just said, "I'm with Himmel." Sisters of the Dark Alleys to the end. Bless her. "Now, let's have a little chat, the five of us," Himmel said. "If you try to do anything before I'm done speaking, I swear I will put you in more pain than you ever thought possible. And if you transform, I will rip you out like I ripped out Ymir, minus some appendages." "Bitch," Ymir muttered. Himmel blew her a kiss in reply before turning back to Eren, who looked more confused than words could ever hope to express. She felt for him. She truly did. Slowly, she released the pressure on his shoulders and let him sit up beside her, but she kept her left hand on his shoulder and her right hand on her sheathed sword, message clear. Now he could see that there were a dozen titans beneath them, stretching up towards them. He could try jumping down and transforming, but he had as much a chance of falling straight into their jaws before he transformed as he did having his titan devoured by them. There was also Reiner and Bertolt, ready to transform in a moment, and Himmel. If he had even half a brain cell, he wouldn't act yet. "Let's hear it then," Eren said sullenly. Himmel took a deep breath, mulled over the words she'd been considering for an hour now, and then began speaking. "Reiner and Bertolt came here to destroy the walls and all of humanity inside of it. Or, rather, their real goal was to find you, Eren, because you can change into a titan. But you were a needle in a haystack until you transformed for the first time during Trost, so they had no other choice than to kill everyone. I know, that's a terrible reason. Hundreds of thousands of perfectly good, innocent people lost their lives because of it, and we shouldn't forget that or forgive them for it. But their people need you, and they're desperate enough to get their hands on you that they will kill every last one of us in the walls. If we go with them, if we sacrifice our freedom, everyone we love can stay safe. Krista, Mikasa, Armin, everyone. Isn't that a small price to pay for their happiness?" Oh, she wanted to bite off her own tongue. But this was the only way for her to find out after all these years, and she would change her tongue into a venomous serpent 1,000 times over for just a taste of the knowledge she sought. She watched as Ymir's eyes grew wide and realization dawned. What part of her speech she had latched onto, Himmel didn't know, but something resonated within her, and she could see the trust in those deep earthen eyes. She was safely on Himmel's side now. Eren, however, was recalcitrant as ever. "What the fuck are you talking about? Why would they need me?" "Our people need the shifters," Bertolt said. "We knew that there was at least one in the walls. You. Finding Ymir was a stroke of luck." A black shadow passed over Bertolt and Reiner's expressions for a moment, but they forced it back down. Himmel wondered what it meant, but judging by the way Ymir took in a little startled gasp of air, she had a feeling that Ymir, for whatever reason, knew something. "And what do you need us for?" Eren demanded. "It's complex and we weren't given the full details. We can explain all of that when we get back to our hometown," Reiner said. "And why are you going along with this, Himmel? How could you leave everyone in the Undercity? How could you leave Levi, Hagel? You're finally back together." "That's why I'm going with Bertolt and Reiner," Himmel hissed. "Everything I've done my entire life has been either to protect Levi or the Undercity. And that's what I'm doing today. Nathaniel and the others will take over the Undercity. Levi went a decade without me. He'll be fine." Eren shook his head, and inwardly, Himmel cursed. She knew he wouldn't be easy to convince, and she had failed spectacularly with him. He had gotten too close to her. He knew her on a level that few others did, and he could see through her. "You wouldn't leave Captain Levi," he said, a fiery sureness in his voice. "You wouldn't leave the walls for uncertainty. Maybe you've been working with them this entire fucking time." Under her palms, she could feel that strange heat building, soaking into her fingers and surging to her heart, and she felt that there was nothing she couldn't do. She could jump straight down into the dozen Titans and dance with them until the sunset. She could run all the way back to Wall Rose, to where everyone she loved was. The possibilities were endless, as long as Eren was with her. What in the ever-loving fuck was it with him? Himmel snarled as she whipped at her sword and forced Eren to his feet with her, his shirt gripped fiercely in her fist. "Enough of this. Enough of it all." She bit out, "If you're so fucking convinced that I'm not willing to sacrifice everything for them, I'll start making sacrifices right now, starting with our friendship." A dangerous gleam in her eyes that he recognized from when she dispatched those 6 bandits in the Undercity yesterday morning, she raised her blade and sliced off his arm at the shoulder. He cried out, and his blood spurted, hot and copious. Himmel smothered her quivering heart, forced her fingers to remain strong, and her grip on the blade and him firm, as he sobbed in agony and bewildered pain. "If you want something to help ease the pain for the next one," she hissed, "just imagine me in a blue dress with pigtails." And then she sliced off his leg mid-thigh, and he wailed like a child. He was a child, Himmel realized dully, as she dropped him to lie on the branch and curse her as he quivered. She forced all of her guilt and self-loathing down before it could suffocate her, and she wiped her blade clean of Eren's blood with a handkerchief from her pocket before sheathing it. Then she turned back to Reiner and Bertolt, who looked nothing short of petrified. "Did you think I wouldn't do it?" she said icily. "I've done a lot worse. Now start repaying me, or this happy little group is going to get real fucking miserable. I know you at least need Eren alive, and I'm not afraid to change that." Eren was still in the throes of pain and didn't react to having his life threatened, but Ymir managed to sit herself up and look at Himmel incredulously. "I knew you were crazy, but I didn't think you'd lost it this bad," she said. Himmel shrugged and sat down between the two of them, fisting Eren's shirt to make sure he didn't writhe off the fucking branch while making sure that she didn't touch his flesh. "What can I say? Being a soldier can break a person. Eren, quit being such a pussy. Your stumps are already steaming. Just focus on something else and the pain will fade away, like it's your first fucking time losing a limb." "Did you kill everyone on top of the wall?" Eren groaned. "I told you. I decided to go with Bertolt and Reiner and bring you guys along to keep everyone safe. Why the fuck would I go and slaughter them all? Use your head." "What's got you so upset all of a sudden?" Bertolt asked. There was doubt creeping into his gaze. She could tell, even from this distance. Himmel gave him a leer. "I hate a person that can't put up with a little bit of pain, that's all. Now start giving me the information I wanted, right now." Bertolt and Reiner shared a look and seemed to come to a decision. Then Bertolt spoke. "I can tell you what we know, but I wasn't lying before when I said that we don't know much." "It's still more than I know," she said. "The Ruckers were a line. There used to be some in our hometown, but they were all killed a long, long time ago, to the point that they appear in fairy tales, and some people don't believe that they ever existed." Himmel didn't care that it was a fable. A kernel of truth was nestled in every story, after all. It was just a matter of determining where it was. "And what were they like? Why were they killed?" "They were powerful fighters who never tired. and could come back from the dead at will. But their powers were rooted in Titans, and they were prone to violence and cruelty. And they were eradicated, Bertolt said. He had the good grace to put on a mask of contrition for her. Your father found out that we were monsters and tried to kill us. Be grateful that I chose to save you, instead of letting him chop you up into pieces and throw you in the river. We lost our land and titles because they learned what we are. Look at you with that hideous smile. That's not the one I told you to come back with. Do you want them all to see the monsters we are, you stupid girl? The woman's voice echoed in her head, low and grating like stone scraping stone, and Himmel could feel the world folding in and collapsing on itself, crushing her. Why'd you kill her? What in the fuck is wrong with you? This is too fucking messy. Erwin thinks there are more humans like Eren that can become Titans. Are you one of them? And then Levi's voice mingled with the woman's, and Himmel wanted to scream because they were never meant to be together. They were never meant to say the same things because he was everything that she wasn't. And if they became the same thing, Himmel would have no reason to live because there would be nothing good in this world. Everyone who knew her best had always known what she was. And Himmel had known it too. The woman wouldn't let her forget. She was dead, but she had been brought back inside Himmel's head, and she stood in there, scratching the backs of her eyeballs and gouging her ears and whispering the horrible, wretched fears and truths Himmel wanted to wither and rot. Himmel had wished every second of her life that one day she would find out that she was anything other than a monster, so she could finally, finally kill the woman once and for all. But it was a curse. She was a monster. And she had set fire to everything she loved, only to dash herself on the stones at the bottom of existence. Oh yes, the world was folding in on itself. She knew it. Its jaws were closing down on her, and she didn't mind the pain at all. She leaned into it and let it take her. But then there were hot, hot hands on her arm and leg, grabbing her tight, melting through the dark place she'd found herself in. Himmel opened her eyes to see that she was hanging almost parallel to the bow, Ymir and Eren's straining grips the only thing keeping her from soaring down to dance with the Titans. Bertolt and Reiner were screaming her name, helpless where they stood on the branch. Oh, shit, Himmel said dumbly. She let the two pull her back to her feet and shook herself as though she were a wet dog, trying to get rid of those thoughts. All stories had a kernel of truth nestled in them. The reader chose where it was. She gave a shaky laugh and looked down at her hands that were trembling. Sorry, I think the last time I slept was 3 days ago. Get a hold of yourself, Ymir muttered, jerking her arm before letting go. Himmel didn't trust her feet, so she plopped down on the branch, crossed her legs, and rested her arms on her thighs, calming herself. Are you all right, Himmel? Reiner asked. Yeah, just tired. Is any of it true? Bertolt asked her, ever curious. Well, I've never died, and I'm not exactly willing to test it, but I'm sure Eren here will agree I'm prone to violence and cruelty, at least. I will too, Ymir said, raving her stub of an arm that ended at the elbow. Tell me about being tired. I wish we could get a bit of a break, Reiner said, his tone light as he tried to bring some levity to the group. They've been busting our balls. I don't remember the last time I slept. After all that crazy stuff at Utgard, they better commend us. I think we did pretty damn well, considering we didn't know what was going on. And did you see the way Krista was fawning over me? I always kind of thought so, but now I'm sure that she has a thing for me. Himmel's turmoil faded, hustled into the background as a strange wind furrowed between them. Pure confusion was on everyone's face other than Reiner's as he continued this one-sided, farcical conversation. And suddenly, Himmel felt that her own identity issues were nothing more than a flight of fancy. Bertolt looked at Reiner as though he were a dreaded but all too familiar ghost back to haunt him again. Eren seemed to have frozen, unable to make sense of the words coming out of Reiner's mouth, while Ymir was just as confused, but still able to act. Mr. Reiner, what in the hell are you saying? She said. He seemed taken aback by the question. I mean, I'm not saying they should make us captains the moment we get back or anything. No, That's not what I'm asking, Ymir said, more confusion leaking onto her brow. Bertolt drew his knees to his chest, and hunkered down for the storm. Reiner kept rambling on, asking about a cannon, and talking about Krista, and just as Himmel was about to say something, Eren yelled and shook Reiner out of his babble. "Are you joking with us?" Eren asked, so softly and so dangerously the rush of the leaves in the canopy nearly drowned him out. Reiner looked taken aback. He put his hands up, brows squeezed together in confusion, and said, "What are you so upset about? Did I say something bad?"
"If you want us to kill you, just come out and say it," Eren roared.
He opened his mouth to continue the tirade, but Ymir and Himmel both put a hand up to silence him. "No, whatever this is, it isn't normal. Bertolt, if you know what's going on, quit sitting there and do something about it." Bertolt drew his knees closer to his chest, looking for all the world as though he wanted to shrink into a grain of sand. Reiner was still baffled and looked at Bertolt. Bertolt said slowly, heavily, "Reiner, you know you're not a soldier, because you're a warrior." Slowly, the incongruous edges of Reiner's psyche aligned. They scraped against one another like thunder clawing at the air when separated from the lightning and clouds, left alone to scream. Himmel couldn't know what Reiner saw as he struggled to breathe and broke out into a sweat, but whatever it was, it had to have been harrowing enough that he could force himself to forget an entire reality and create a new one to crawl inside and hide in. "Oh, that's right," he said presently. Then he buried his face into a broad palm and wept as Bertolt tried to vanish from this day. It must have been so difficult for Reiner to keep up the act. Himmel found herself wondering which side of him had been the act, the soldier who fought beside them for 3 years that was always dependable, thoughtful, and hardworking, or the warrior who crashed through Wall Maria and massacred hundreds of thousands. Eren said beside her, "What the fuck is this?" "I thought it was weird," Ymir said, "that the guy who broke the walls would risk his life to save Connie. He must have forgotten himself, or maybe created his own second reality to bury all of his sins. But looking at Bertolt's face, this isn't the first time this has happened." Eren took in what Ymir said, and her words poured icy fury straight into his veins. "What do you think you're doing, acting like you're a victim? Armin and I told you two about what happened to us in Shiganshina, how a part of the wall that you shattered landed on my house and crushed my mother and got her eaten. Bertolt, what did you think when I told you that?" Bertolt looked up from his lap and met Eren's fiery gaze. Calmly and sincerely, he said, "I thought it was a pity." No words or gestures existed that could calm Eren. Everything only became fuel. He screamed, "You know what? You guys aren't soldiers or warriors or whatever. You're just butcherers, mass murderers who killed mountains of innocent people." Without flinching, without breaking, Reiner yelled back, "We already know it, and we don't need you telling us." "Then quit fucking pitying yourself for it. You're not humans anymore. You two are the ones that turned this world into hell. Do you understand that, you fucking murderers? What the fuck do you want from us murderers, huh? Do you want us to reflect on it? Do you want us to apologize for it? Will that make you satisfied? The versions of us that you knew are gone. If crying about it makes you feel better, then sit there and cry your fucking heart out."
The trees echoed with their words, and Himmel imagined that for a moment all the titans beneath them stilled. When the world grew quiet again, Eren grew quiet with it. The brimstone in his voice was now in his eyes as he said quietly, "You're right. I was naive. I just have to work hard to see that you two suffer the most painful deaths possible. I promise you, I'll make it my life's work." Himmel sat there wondering what to do. This really, really wasn't how she'd imagined it playing out when she'd grabbed them and jumped over the wall. No matter how she looked at it, she couldn't see Eren becoming cooperative, and she didn't want to keep shaving off limbs. Ymir gave a humorless chuckle and broke the thunderous silence. "Last night it was monkeys, now Himmel's out of a fairy tale. I'm loving the whole fantasy theme." "You saw the monkey? It wasn't some hallucination of Connie's?" Himmel demanded, happy to latch onto any topic. "We all saw it perfectly clear, didn't we?" Ymir said, nodding to Reiner and Bertolt.
who suddenly looked vaguely sheepish.
Monkey? I don't know what you're talking about, Reiner said.
Really? Because we were all on top of the tower when we saw it, and while everyone else looked like they were about to shit themselves, you two looked like you were looking at your favorite fucking grandpa. He's another one of you creeps, isn't he? And if you can find him, you can go back to your hometown. He's the key, isn't he? He's what you're waiting for right now.
Bertolt and Reiner had been acting for 3 years. It was easy for them to don masks, and they did so now. But that they had to don masks at all was telling. Eden seemed to have found something to take his mind off the pain, or he was hoping that this conversation would. He said to Ymir, "So who's the enemy? Who actually are they?" Ymir gave the two of them a long look, and then said slowly, "Well, Reiner and Bertolt and the monkey are the immediate enemies, but if you wanted to put it into one word, the enemy is..."
"Ymir," Reiner said, with incredible force, "think before you finish that sentence. Think about this world. Do you think it has long?"
Himmel watched Ymir's eyes grow wide as she seemed to recall something long buried. What was happening? Reiner continued, "You know what happens from here on out. I know you're probably hoping you can find some way to escape us and be with Krista, but have you seriously considered coming with us of your own free will, like Himmel? She might not know all there is to know, but she has the right idea. She's chosen the option that's best for Krista and everyone else. And I'm not going to lie, if you come back with us, we can't guarantee your safety. But we can make concessions for Krista. You can believe me that we both want the same thing." Ymir's harsh expression was relaxing. Her uncertainty had hardened into determination settled low on her brow, and Himmel swore internally. "Ymir, what's he talking about?" she asked. She gave Himmel a long look, and Himmel knew she had lost her sister of the dark alleys even before she opened her mouth and said, "Guess you'll find out when we get there." Shit, 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 shit. Himmel scrambled to find a way to salvage this horrible fucking plan. It really was the worst one she'd ever come up with. None had ever backfired so spectacularly, so monumentally. And then she saw a dragon of green twisting up into the air, far, far in the distance. Its brothers followed it in their bid for freedom, and Himmel felt all of her heartstrings grow tight. The Survey Corps was here, and perhaps among them was Levi. And thus closes chapter 22. Thank you so much for listening along. This was really one of the hardest seasons to, play with, because there's so many different thoughts going on, so many different ideas going on, and of course I have the omnipotence of having finished the manga as well. Thinking about what facets I can play with, what facets I have to keep as they were in canon. So this is one of the very few chapters where I actually used some canon dialogue pretty much verbatim. I really try to refrain from doing that because I don't like to give readers or listeners something that they already know, something that they already have. So I apologize for that lack of originality, I guess. but this was just a particular part where everything held so much meaning that I couldn't alter it. That welcome to this chapter, it's truly a mindfuck, and I feel like if Himmel or if anyone, right, were just thrust into this situation, they would just be so confused, so perplexed, I feel for her. But yeah, we'll see what the Survey Corps does about this when they show up. Thanks again for listening, and if you like what you listen to, feel free to pop onto AO3 and leave me a comment letting me know. I do have anonymous comments turned on, and I'm always happy to hear from you. All right, thanks again, you guys. Have a great day. Bye-bye.